you. Hi, I'm Louisa. I'm an addict. And I'm sitting here with my heart pounding, and I felt all right when I was coming here tonight. And then for some reason, as soon as this sort of mic was put on the table, my head just like gone off. But it's really nice to be here and sort of to see, you know, it was like just sitting here waiting for the meeting to start, like really buzzing the atmosphere in here. You know, really alive, everyone chatting, which is, you know, really nice. And I'm sort of glad to be a part of NA and be here. And it's all right that I'm scared, you know. I do find it hard sort of sitting and revealing myself, but it's got easier. And I know, you know, from doing other chairs that I'll sit here, I'll do my chair and I'll be all right, you know. And I've kind of had my hand held through NA, because when I arrived, I wouldn't have been sat here. This would have been my idea of hell, just sitting in front of people. And even just to sort of open my mouth in a meeting and say, I'm Louisa, I'm an addict, would be like a bright red, you know, stress headaches after thinking, why am I doing this? And but when I did speak, you know, after meetings, people would come up to me and say, you know, nice to hear you, good to hear you. And even though I'd be giving myself a hard time saying, you didn't say that, what did you say, why did you say, you know, and my head would be going 10 to the dozen, you know, people would be really sort of kind and loving, and I sort of feel that I've had my fear lessened through just support, you know, that we sort of get here. And and even though, you know, it was a slow sort of kind of process getting to sort of love NA, or to, you know, still my relationship wavers, but I do really, you know, feel privileged to be part of this. And my life has just totally changed because of it. But when I first came around, I couldn't quite see how, you know, it was going to work. People sitting in a room, and I listened to this guy's sort of war story, and then I heard people sharing back, and I just didn't get it. I really didn't. And it wasn't until I sort of started coming clean that I started to hear, you know, things started to sink in. Because the first times I went, I tanked myself up. It was on one of my many times trying to detox, and I, you know, was so scared coming to the meeting, sort of drink pill, you know, and got there, and just, I could only hear the using story. I couldn't hear the sort of recovery. And it took time, you know, I was in treatment, and the only sort of place we were allowed to go was out to meetings, so I went to sort of as many meetings as I could just to get out the door, and met nice people, and you know, I was stayed here in London, I'm not from here, and you know, I didn't know where else to go, and I sort of wanted, I don't know, I wanted to be well, and I wanted friends, and it, you know, took time. And when I first sort of got out of treatment and into my flat, NA was sort of my lifeline, because I kind of thought, where is this place? Why, you know, I've got nothing in common with this place where I am. And I, you know, I expected this suddenly, this community of people to come out and like be there. And, you know, I remember sort of walking through places, wishing, hoping someone that I knew from my past would, I'd just bump into them, and it didn't happen. And I was meant to be in that place on my own, feeling quite lonely to start with. That was where I was meant to be. I needed to sort of go through that. And I needed to try and connect with people and keep turning up. And start phoning people and just keep coming to meetings. And slowly, you know, you sort of build relationships. And, you know, I got myself a sponsor. It took quite a while to sort of work the steps. Would phone her. And couldn't quite see why I should be doing the steps. I'd hear people talk about it. And it just didn't seem like that relevant to me. It was okay for everyone else to do, and I was sure that people were just saying it just to be feel part of. I couldn't actually see that it was really beneficial, and it wasn't until I've sort of done them that I can feel the benefits. And I think I really maybe just didn't have the sort of time for myself really to sort of spend on myself, because it's a really loving thing to do, you know, working the steps and spending time, you know, working on yourself and trying to get some understanding and just realizing that, you know, there's something outside of me that can help me and that stuff is going to be all right. And doing my step four took me ages, you know, it took me oh, I don't know how long, ages and ages, I dragged it out. But I mean, it is. I mean, I don't think I had that. I hear a lot of people say I had real fear about stuff. I didn't want to let anyone know this. I don't think I had that so much because I sort of told my sponsor stuff. It was just getting it down on paper and really in my head and heart sort of understanding stuff. You know, I think it allowed me to sort of have a bit of compassion for myself, and through doing that for other people, you know, through having that compassion for myself, I kind of think I could have a bit for other, you know, for my family and a bit of understanding for them as well, and, you know, let go of a lot of the sort of anger. You know, because when I grew up, there was, I think, my fear that I sort of had as a child and, you know, sort of brought into recovery, which has lessened, you know, developed as I was growing up, because my dad was an alcoholic. He was sort of a raging workaholic. And they were really young, had my sister at 15, you know, my mum was pregnant at 15 and then had me 5 years later and then my brother. And I think they were just, you know, not quite sure what they were doing. And there was a lot of friction, you know, my dad coming from an Italian sort of peasant family, my mum totally different to my dad. You know, she was quite intellectual, he's a real sort of doer, and it was a real clash of personalities, and there was a lot of friction and a lot of shouting in my house, and you know, and I didn't express myself in my household because I got the message that I was really good because I was the quiet one, and I was always the one that was trying to sort of make things all right, quiet things down, and I was a sort of pacifier. My sister was the really angry one as well. My brother was young, and I was sort of in the middle, just, you know. And I learned that, you know, I was always being told how good I was because I was quiet. You know, so I thought, it's really good not to speak. You know, I got that message as a child. And then when I sort of grew up and wanted to express myself, I found I just didn't know how and was really uncomfortable right through my sort of teens. But, you know, drugs really helped. I wasn't bothered whether I was speaking or not. I was just sort of comatose. That was, you know, I felt comfortable with that. 5 minutes. Oh God, time. recovery. But yeah. So. Oh, I don't know where I am now. Yeah. I mean, I think for a long time, drugs sort of did make me feel okay, and then. And then for a long time they didn't make me feel okay, but I didn't know how to stop. You know, numerous detoxes, in and out of detox, thinking this is the time, and telling my parents, you know, I'd spend a lot of time not seeing them and not being able to face people. And just, oh, I remember like one time my cousin came all the way, he was over from Italy, and came around to the flat, and he sort of knocked on the door. I opened the door, saw it was him, and just shut the door. I just thought, I can't face it. And like, doing stuff like that when I sort of look back thinking, my God, you know, what a horrible thing to do. But I just, you know, that's how I just, if I didn't want to, I could not take responsibility, and I could not, if I didn't want to face something, I just didn't. It was just like down, down, down. I didn't know how to live. And even that, you know, when I come out of detox and really, really want to, you know, get on with life and really, really want to be clean, I just couldn't do it until I started coming to meetings. And I think I got shown how. It was literally like sort of having a handheld and, you know, going to college, being really feared about starting things like going to college and, you know, hearing other people do it really helped. And I didn't ever think I would work. I didn't see how I'd kind of get off my benefits, and that was like, no way, how am I going to do that? I couldn't contemplate it. And then I had my son, I was thinking, there's definitely no way, I've got to support myself and my son, there's no way. And then just slowly through, you know, the process happens, you keep coming and you get better. And, you know, I did my college and then got one little bit of work, and that, you know, and now I'm sort of working and supporting my son, doing nice things. You know, last year I really wanted to take him on an adventure, went to India for a month last year. We're going again this next month. It's like, well, it's good, you know, life is good. And, you know, despite ups and downs in my head sort of being mad sometimes, it's okay, I can come here, I can share it with people, and it's okay. And I do feel really, you know, so You know, not everyone makes it, you know, not everyone gets here, and I feel really lucky to be able to sort of be clean, to be feeling, to be part of this fellowship. You know, to have had all the experiences I've had so far and know that there's, like, you know, just so much more. You know, you hear other people's stuff and know there's loads more out there to do. And to have that motivation and just that, you know, connection with life again, to really want to do all those things which I'd lost, you know, for that to be sort of back, and that has been nurtured back through sort of coming here. And I think, well, is that it? I think it is, isn't it? Is that 5 minutes? I don't know. I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Thanks.